Welcome to the second episode of Gadget Forecast. I'm your host, Siddharth, and let's get started on your fortnightly dose of gadget updates from around the country and the world. Starting off today's session on a high-end phone, we have some brand new information on Samsung's latest upcoming addition to the lineup, the Galaxy Note 20. As part of the latest Note series, Samsung will reportedly be drawing out two models, the Note 20 and the Note 20 Plus. But get ready to witness a major design change. We have known Samsung to be the pioneer in curved edge displays since their 2014 Galaxy Edge, which, of course, as we all know, went on to become a regular sight in their flagship design language. But it might be time to bid farewell to their gorgeous curved displays, as reputable leaker Ice Universe teased that the Galaxy Note 20 could end up featuring a flat display. If Samsung does end up ditching the curved display and making this transition to flat edges, it will be the biggest design change to the Note series in nearly 6 years. Irrespective of the display, the Galaxy Note 20 is shaping up to be quite the beast of a flagship in the plus size segment. Both the 6.42 inch Note 20 and the 6.87 inch Note 20 Plus are gonna be packing in ultra fast 120Hz displays and powered by Samsung's latest Exynos 992 chip with up to 16GB of RAM and a massive 5000mAh battery. Also, 5G network compatibility and Android 10 are sort of a given and nothing much to talk about there. The time has come for you to brace yourself for the incoming camera leaks on the Note 20 series, which always has been Samsung's strong armor. The Note 20 could feature a 12MP primary wide angle, 64MP telephoto, and a 12MP ultra wide angle lens with 4K video recording. On the other hand, the Note 20 Plus is expected to feature a 108MP primary sensor with 9-in-1 pixel binning capabilities, 12MP telephoto, 12MP ultra wide angle lens, and a laser focus sensor instead of a 3D time of flight camera like the one in S20 Ultra, along with 8K video recording. Coming to the front camera, there's a pretty punchy rumor going around which states that the Note 20 could be the first Samsung device to sport an under-display front camera. This basically means that the sensor wouldn't be visible during normal usage of the phone, except when you turn on the selfie camera. Well, we should be taking this leak with a pinch of salt, but if Samsung does pull off this feat, it will be a revolutionary innovation. As per the release date, the Note 20 series is likely to be unveiled on 5th August with a sale date of 20th August. Let's hope Samsung makes it big this time with their Note 20 lineup. Up next, we make a jump to the lower end as we discuss an upcoming budget offering from Google, the Pixel 4a. From May to June and now to July 13, the launch timelines of the Pixel 4a have been continuously pushed back by Google owing to the uncertain market conditions. As per latest leaks and rumors, Google's second generation affordable smartphone is expected to bring in a 5.8 inch OLED screen with 60Hz refresh rate and a cutout for an 8MP front camera. The hardware on the 4a might be a tad bit on the lesser powerful side than its competitors, with reports indicating a Snapdragon 730 processor with 6GB of RAM and 128GB of onboard storage. But this little dip in internal hardware dexterity will be evened out by the exceptional camera, as we all know that Google manages to pull off photography really, really well, even at affordable price points like the Pixel 3a showed. If you might have noticed, in my previous line, I mentioned exceptional camera, not cameras. Well, that's because history is gonna repeat itself and the Pixel 4a will repurpose the same 12.2 megapixel f1.78 wide angle sensor that was first used in the Pixel 3, then the Pixel 3a, and also on the Pixel 4. Well, the Pixel 4 had an additional telephoto lens for hybrid zoom, but that's not the point. The point is that you will be getting the very same rear camera as Google's flagship in a device that is expected to bear a price point of around ₹35,000. Many people might still raise concerns, saying, the Pixel is offering only one camera. other phones at a similar price point are offering 3, 4, 5, 6 cameras. Well, I would say the quantity doesn't matter out here, my friend. It's always about the quality. Despite having only a single rear camera, the Pixel captures excellent bokeh shots as well as stunning low-light images. Yeah, it's true that the phone doesn't offer a dazzling 108-megapixel sensor or a time-of-flight optic to bring out depth in an image, but frankly, it doesn't even need one. This right here is testimonial to the fact that one well-designed camera can beat several if done right. You know, till now, I have covered a pretty wide range of smartphone brands. But there's one brand which has been missing from our conversation. One brand that once used to be among the world's top 5 smartphone makers, but has been dead silent for quite a while now. Well, I'm here to tell you that the silence has finally been broken, and I am talking about the company who bought Motorola from Google in 2014, Lenovo. Yes, you heard it right. Lenovo actually is planning to make a rather powerful comeback, as they have recently confirmed a gaming smartphone under the Legion brand, which is a renowned name in the gaming community. When I was reading up about this phone, I was literally blown away by the wild speculations that have been surrounding the phone's design based on a leaked render. Unlike all the smartphones that we have ever used or seen or heard about, the Lenovo Legion will be having a 20-megapixel pop-up front camera that will be sticking out from the right side of the phone instead of the usual top edge. As if the front camera placement was not bizarre enough for you, hear this out. The 64-megapixel and the 16-megapixel dual rear cameras on the Legion are likely to be placed at the dead center of the back panel. Already picturing it in your mind, aren't you? Well, although Lenovo has not given any official explanation of the weird placement of the cameras as of now, I am guessing since the device is primarily meant to be used as a gaming smartphone, the default orientation of the phone will be horizontal. Not only this, the phone is likely to flaunt a full HD Plus display with a 144Hz of refresh rate coupled with a 270Hz of touch sampling rate. The Legion will sport the latest Snapdragon 865 processor and come with a disruptive liquid cooling technology. The enormous 5000mAh battery will reportedly be supporting 90W fast charging and feature not one, but two USB Type-C ports. Well, I must hand it out to Lenovo. If all of the mentioned leaks manage to make it to the final product launch schedule for next month, it will undoubtedly be the best comeback by any smartphone brand. Moving on to our next discussion on TWS headphones. Wait, when you hear headphones, doesn't the name Sony kind of automatically pops up on your mind? Recently, on 24th of June, Sony has launched its first TWS earbuds in India, which are strategically priced especially for the Indian market. The higher-end model, SP800N, is priced at a premium ₹18,990, while the budget-end model, XB700, comes with a relatively affordable price tag ₹9,990. Both these devices come with Sony's signature extra bass technology, which gives a subtle boost to the bass notes. Well, apart from the extra bass feature, the highlight of the higher-end SP800 earbuds is ANC, that is, Active Noise Cancellation. Well, ANC is a rather expensive piece of technology which is designed to completely isolate your audio and shut out background noises, thereby providing you with an immersive studio-like experience. The ANC doesn't show up in the lower-end model, but it is being compensated by the IPX4 rating on the XB700, while the SP800 features a higher IP55 rating for dust and water resistance. On the accessibility front, the budget XB700 comes with two tactile buttons on both sides to control music, adjust volume, and invoke virtual assistants, while the premium SP800N uses advanced touch and tap gestures for the same functions. Commenting on the audio performance, the XB700 features a 12mm driver, which does a pretty good job at delivering an impressive bass-heavy audio experience while keeping it neutral on the mids and highs. On the other hand, the SP800 features a smaller 6mm driver to make space for the Sense engine, wearing detection, quick attention mode, and the ANC, all of which are absent on the XB700. The battery on the budget model lasts up to 18 hours considering both the earbuds and the charging case, while the premium model lasts up to 26 hours of listening time. Coming to my favorite session of today's podcast, WWDC. The 31st edition of Apple's annual event, Worldwide Developers Conference, was recently conducted online via live streaming on YouTube and Apple's website on 22nd of June 2020. This basically is Apple's version of Google I/O event, and today we are gonna be making a rundown of the top 10 highlights of one of the most awaited tech events of the world. So without much further ado, let's get started. iOS 14. Apple spent a majority of the WWDC keynote presenting the fundamental changes that are gonna make it to iOS 14. Also notable is the fact that the support for the new iOS will be extended as far as iPhone 6s and iPad Air 2nd Gen till the latest iPhone 11 and the 12.9 inch iPad Pro 4th Gen. That right there is an impressive 5 years of software support. Well, coming back to iOS 14, some of the features that I will be discussing here won't seem new to many of you listening to my podcast right now, because they have been around for quite a while now on Android OS. However, Apple did announce a few unique features that even Android users haven't seen before. Number 1. Home screen widgets. Apple has finally brought in support for widgets on iOS 14, something which Android users have been happily using for a really long time now. Also, you can add similar sized widgets over one another to create what Apple calls a smart stack, where you can swipe between an editable selection of widgets. Number 2. App Library. Apple has finally introduced an app drawer to sort out your iOS home screen. The app library takes up the final home screen page and is basically an auto-curated collection of folders that houses all your apps in categories. You can also now remove unwanted home screens that contains apps which you don't use frequently. This will let you scroll across to your app library quicker and make your home screen more manageable. Number 3. Picture in Picture. About damn time. This is something which many iOS users have been wanting since its very inception. Well, Apple will be including picture-in-picture support, which lets you shrink a video or a FaceTime call to a small floating box, which you can drag anywhere on your screen while letting you interact with everything else on your iPhone. But you won't have to pause those videos or FaceTime calls anymore. Number 4. Messages. Apple has improved their indigenous messaging app, and now you can specify a person in a group message thread by typing their name. You can also customize a group thread in a way so that you only receive notifications when your name is mentioned. Also, similar to what we have seen in WhatsApp, the new update will let you pin your favorite conversations at the top. Number 5. Phone call notifications. You know, I have been an iPhone user for over 2 years now, and the most annoying thing I find in iOS is when an incoming call takes up your entire screen, leaving you with three options. You either receive, reject, or wait for the call to end on its own with no way whatsoever to minimize it. Seems like Apple has heard our voices and has finally replaced this extremely irritating feature with a small incoming call notification at the top of the screen where you can choose to answer or decline or simply swipe it away to let it ring in the background without getting in the way of your work. Number 6. App Clips. Apple has introduced a very well-thought feature in iOS 14 called App Clips, which basically are ultra-lightweight apps, less than 10 MB in size, that will help you at the exact moment when you need them. For example, suppose you are in CCD and you want to use their app to place your order or access their rewards program, but you don't have their app installed on your phone. So instead of downloading their entire app, you could use a QR code or an NFC pad, download their app clip, sign in with your Apple ID, and boom, you are done. The idea is to eliminate the need to download an entire app to access a feature, especially if the app's functionality is limited to one-off usage. Number 7. Siri. The first major update that Apple has made here is that Siri will no longer be taking up your entire screen when activated. Instead, an animated Siri icon will now appear at the bottom of your screen, allowing you to still see your apps while communicating with Siri. The second major update to Siri is that it can now translate text and dictation via the Translate app directly by using the phone's onboard neural engine. Apart from this, Siri now knows 20 times more facts than it did 3 years ago. Quite exciting, but not as exciting as number 8, Apple Car Key. This is the first of its kind NFC functionality by which you will be able to lock, unlock, and start your car with your iPhone or Apple Watch instead of a physical key. For starters, it will only be compatible with the upcoming BMW Series 5 car, but eventually, we will see a wider adoption just like Apple's CarPlay. The coolest thing about this is that you can effortlessly share your car key credentials with your friends and family, although you can restrict them in certain ways once they start driving. Speaking of driving, it brings us to point number 9, Apple Maps. One of the missing features in iOS 13 Apple Maps was the ability to get directions for cycling. Well, the iOS 14 solves that. The new Apple Maps can now show you route options for bike lanes, paths, and roads, as well as give you a heads up on elevation changes, busy streets, and stairs. This update will only be available in a few cities worldwide, but Apple will be increasing their coverage soon. We draw the curtains on today's WWDC highlights with point number 10, Apple chipsets for their Mac lineup. We all know that MacBooks and iMacs run on Intel processors. Well, not anymore. Apple has formally announced the creation of Apple-designed silicon chips for the future MacBooks, which will offer more performance with lesser power consumption. Moreover, since the processors will be based on similar architecture as its iPhones and iPads, this will allow seamless interoperability between all the devices, thereby leading to a more efficiently connected Apple ecosystem. Okay, the time has come for me to wrap up our today's session of Gadget Forecast. Thank you, dear listeners, for taking time out of your schedule to drop by and listen to my podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please don't forget to follow, subscribe, and share my podcast, because I will keep coming back with more such exciting updates, and I'm guessing you wouldn't want to miss them. Also, you can now reach out to me on the official Facebook and Instagram pages of Gadget Forecast and drop by your valuable feedback, and also do let me know what gadget you would want me to discuss on my next episode. So, that's it for today's podcast, folks. Take care and stay safe.